Oh,
surprise
no,
ending.
30
there.
Seconds left on.
Oh, really?
It does.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, oops.
I'm sorry about that.
30 seconds of reflection.
25 seconds left. Anyway, no, that's okay.
That's my weird.
No problem.
Computer error. Sorry.
It was just, 2 seconds it did.
Yeah, okay.
No problem. So Mike wrote the next song, which is called Falling in Line. And why don't you tell us about Falling in Line?
Well, it's basically a little yarn about that classic dynamic. At what price success? You know, you really dedicate yourself to something, but, you know, if it ends up causing you to ignore, you know, not have the connections you might have, or, you know, help out people that you could along the way, just because it sort of gets in the way of your goal, of, especially if that's, you know, more monetary than something that could be shared with people. You know, it's just, I'm lamenting that concept, and the, what's it called, the protagonist or whatever of the song is also as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think one thing to add is, like, this song works great in so many different styles.
Yeah, we've played it.
we've played it, like, style.
Well, I wrote it basically as a rock song.
Disco, yeah, but
we did a disco version at a party. It worked quite well, actually.
We did a jazz version, too,
at a party. And literally, this one, we were fully around to practice, like a sort of shuffly Smiths feel. John was singing a super exaggerated Morrissey, which we toned back. But it was so funny. But it was like, yeah, wow, that really works. Plus, you know, we like to write shuffly songs, which is unusual. Most bands don't write shuffle songs these days. And we have a few in our repertoire. So I just thought, yeah, that really makes it work. I sort of came up with this kind of neat drum thing that goes around in the verse that wouldn't work in another version of it. So I don't think you adapt it.
All right. Without further ado, Falling in Line. Here he goes. Here's the Porta Squares.
Excuse me. Would that be attention? So, man.
You can't interrupt, you'll make it up somehow. But when they're all out of reach, it will cross your mind. You worked your years away, now you pay the fines. When you fall in line.
Fall in line right there, the Porta Squares, written by Mike. Mike, tell us about Fall in Line a little bit more.
Did we mention that we've... No, we mentioned off air. God, I don't, can't even remember now. That's Life on the Radio. That throughout... When I first wrote it, it was a rock song. We played a party, and we actually did it as a disco version.
Use it, yep.
And then we even did a sort of a... We were thinking of a lounge thing. You know, I'd stand up and that jazz kit, but I don't have one of those. So we made it a little more straight-ahead shuffle.
Was Steve Winwood an influence of it?
No, not really.
Okay.
I don't know. I've... Can't really say any real style. I just, actually, when I was writing the song, I just wanted to have a verse that had like kind of quick chord changes. I'd never written a song like that. And It's just a neat thing that it just like, oh, it made me think of a melody idea. And there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds great. Okay. We have Steve Winwood lined up.
Yes.
And you want to tell us about this choice of yours?
Yes. I mean, it's not a definitive song of mine, but boy, the spring of 81 and 82. Just listening to music on the radio was, you know, I was a teenager, you're, you know, awkward, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. So, you know, the song sort of has that combination of melancholy and regret, but hope, you know, well, you see a chance, take it. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things that I kind of liked. And just as a tune, over the years, you know, I play drums and keyboard, and actually, I'll point out, there's no guitar in this song, believe it or not. It's all Steve Winwood. He even plays the drums. Yes. I'm not sure if it's partly drum machine. The drums sound almost synthetic, in a good way, though. Mm-hmm. And there's this organ line, or it's like a saxophone. It's 10% away from being too cheesy to deal with, you know, because it's that 80s synth sound. But it's a great line. And, man, his voice is just incredible.
Oh, yeah, he's a great singer.
He has that thing that it's like Peter Gabriel, and, of course, Phil Collins sings a lot like Peter Gabriel, where it's almost like his voice is doubled when he's singing. Like, when he listens, is it doubling or some kind of effect? Because it's so, like, full.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he hits the high notes and the harmonies,
yeah.
I wish he did it through the... Only at the end does he add these harmony lines. And the only other thing is there's a single version, which is what we're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like Strawberry Fields, where if you know where the cut is, it's so obvious. Because in the original version, he says way. He sings the word way, and then it goes into all this long part. And then... He reprises the first part, and the word is B, and that's what goes into the solo. But in this, he goes way E, he goes into, they just cut the end of way into the end of E, the E of B, you know, the vowel. You'll hear it, and then that's
right,
the solo, and they cut
that
out a minute and a 20 of the song.
Way B.
Okay, you ready for it?
Yes.
Here we go. Here's Steve Winwood, and it's called While You See a Chance. Thank you. legendary Steve Winwood in the background fading away. See a chance, take it. Great one. Ever hear him do Georgia, the Ray Charles song?
Oh my God, no, would be awesome.
He does a wonderful job.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I swear you think it's Ray Charles.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like Ray Charles. He did it with the Spencer Davis Group.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. And he started at 17?
Yeah. Yeah, his older brother or something was the band.
What a singer.
I think he even had amazing. To forge something to get in. You know, like, oh, yeah, I'm 20. I'm 19.
So we're going back to Jimi Hendrix.
Yes.
Tell us about your love of Jimi Hendrix.
Well, of course, I have three older brothers and one who's a drummer himself. Hi, Jack. Hope you're listening. And they were big... music fans of the music at the time, including this. So it was there when I was a little kid, and I just remember hearing it was just so wild. But anyways, this particular song, Castles Made of Sand, it's just incredible. I could make a 10-minute video of just analyzing this song. And it to me, it just shows the creativity that was happening in that time. And he was really part of the elites of that era, but he was such a complete package. And the way I think of it is you almost think, oh, he was a step above, but he was more like he was a step aside, like he was a separate entity that just interacted with what was going on so well. But anyway, so in this song, things to check out is it's subtle, but then it becomes almost like you realize, wow, it's not subtle at all, is that the song speeds up. Every verse he plays faster, and it's on purpose. And also, I love the drummer, my favorite drummer, Mitchell. And usually he's doing all sorts of fills and crazy rolls, but he's doing a very rhythmic part here. It literally just occurred to me yesterday, and it shows how you hear these things as you hear it, that his part's like basically a counter bass line. He's not really playing a beat. He's not playing um-cha-um-cha-cha, a downbeat.
Sure.
And as they play it faster and faster, it's like, whoo, it really gets, it's almost like this sliding kind of rhythm thing going. And the lyrics, that's the other thing, Jimmy wrote incredible lyrics, as good as his musical element. And every verse, it's kind of dark stuff. Oh, and let me just say, the first verse, he references the neighbors gossip and drool, because this guy's getting drunk on the street. And like, isn't that, he's like, a line into today, because that's like social media, right? We all get to just anonymously gossip and drool at someone's despair. So he had such insight, Anyways, I literally, just like, I could spend another 5 minutes talking about what this song does, but it's really cool.
No, this is an amazing album. Little Wing, Was Nine, classic songs, and this is probably my favorite song off the record.
Oh, thank you.
I love this one, too.
What do you know?
All right, Castles Made of Sand. WMFO, Medford.
And she slams the door in his drunken face. And now he stands outside, and all the neighbors start to gossip and drool. He cries, oh girl, you must be mad. What happened to the sweet love you and me had? Against the door he leans and starts a scene, and his tears fall and burn a garden green. And so castles made of sand fall in the sea eventually. A little Indian brave who, before he was 10, played war games in the woods with his Indian friends. And he built a dream that when he grew up, he would be a fearless warrior, Indian chief. Many moons passed, and more the dream grew stronger. Till tomorrow, he would sing his first war song and fight his first battle. But something went wrong. Surprise attack killed him in his sleep that night. And so castles made of sand melts into the sea eventually. There was a young girl whose heart was a frown, cause she was crippled for life and she couldn't speak a sound, and she wished and prayed she could stop living, so she decided to die. She drew a wheelchair to the edge of the shore, and to her leg she smiled, "You won't hurt me no more.
But then a sight she never seen made her jump and say, look, a golden winged ship is passing my way. And it really didn't have to stop. It just kept on going. And so castles made of sand slips into the sea eventually.
Just like that, we're on the air. That's Jimi Hendrix with Castles Made of Sand from Axis, Bold as Love. All right, next song, Mike, tell us your thoughts.
Well, you know, huge Beatle fans, we all are. In our band, we cover the Beatles quite a bit, as well as this song. It's called... which one is it?
I Call Your Name.
I Call Your Name. That's it. Woo.
Do you know what album it's on, actually?
What's that?
Yeah. I don't think it's on an album.
Yeah, it came off as a single initially, right?
Yeah. Well, they're past masters. So.
They're first stuff because
I know
it's
the
all
American.
All over the place.
They screwed around so much.
Was that Dell phone or something?
It wasn't on an album over there.
Yeah, I don't think it was an official British album.
Believe it or not, there's a Billy J. Kramer version of this.
Yeah,
I didn't
want to
hear
it
because apparently this is sort of like Michelle. Lennon wrote this melody when he was a kid, like literally just 10 or 12 or something for the most part. But what I find so amazing about it is the you know, the way it's designed as a song. Because one thing is, when you hear that title, I Call Your Name, if you know the song, you think, I Call Your Name, you think of that line.
Yeah.
But he always sings that at the very beginning of the song.
Right.
And the whole rest of the song is almost countering that one line. Mm-hmm. And of course, the resolution is the high note, I Call Your Name, which means that he begins and ends the whole phrase with the same words. You know, so that's a neat thing, too. It just... It's so uniquely structured.
And the other really cool part, the middle eight is the big part.
Yeah, the other
like
really cool thing
too, right?
is that he purposely plays a ska beat in the middle. Mm-hmm. This song, it was recorded early 64, I believe, or maybe late 63. So at that time, there wasn't even the Skatalites, if people know ska. It was more, ska was a lot like Fats Domino. It was very shuffly, but with the prominence on the, there's artists like Prince Buster, Desmond Dekker. Mm-hmm. And of course, England, they were always ahead of the curve on this kind of music. Being in Liverpool, a port city, literally the records come in. So
and then
they
all being huge
this was out
fans,
there, and so they just threw it in. There's a ska beat, you know, the year before I was born, you know, when Lloyd Nibb was still trying to figure out the beat.
Yeah,
these guys were doing it. So it just shows, you know, and that whole thing of the creativity of them, they always wanted to do something different.
They had big ears.
Yes.
Yeah. And here is the mono version of I Call Your Name.
You're not there. Was I to blame for being unfair? Oh, I can't sleep at night since you've been gone.
Waiting Feelings Fine, that's the Porter Squares. Their latest release is Three Sides. And tell us about the Waiting Feelings Fine.
Well, thanks for having us again here on WMFO. It's nice
Medford.
To be back.
In Medford, that's
Freeform.
Right.
I nicked the line from Bob Marley's Waiting in Vain. And so I just like the idea of, I don't know if it's delayed gratification or just waiting for the right moment. And the patience that it takes to wait. So that's what that was about.
No, it's great stuff. It's a great tune. It's a dance tune. It just sounds great. I love the voices, like the way you go back and forth. That's really nice.
Well, thank you.
I always like that. I mean, that's a terrific song. You are influenced by Bob Marley, of course, in that one. Mm. Anything else in that particular song? Because
well, it was initially written for my band back in the 90s, which featured my sister.
Oh, you had
that
song for a while then.
Yeah, yeah. This is an old tune.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So my sister and our friend Stacy sang lead vocals on it. So it's always been kind of a challenge to kind of meet up to where the high standards they have of the version of that one. So, you know, that was always a challenge to do it. But it's a tune that I've always loved, and I feel like sometimes I could be too wordy in my tunes. So I always draw inspiration from people like Elvis Costello or Paul Weller and stuff, who aren't necessarily afraid of having too many words in their songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, kind of motivates me.
I mean, it's not really the same song, obviously. It's an original. It's totally different. But with the Stones song... Not waiting. It's time waits for no one.
Time waits for no one.
Yeah. Just that. I kind of like your guitar work at the end section. Kind of reminds me. I like that. It's a really great groove they have, and I think that song works really well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, what did you pick next, Jonathan? What do you want to hear?
I would love to hear "The Man in the Corner Shop" by The Jam.
Okay.
Another wordy tune.
Do you guys like that one? I know. Yeah. I do. I've always loved it. It reminds me of a Ray Davies song from 1964 or 65.
Man, yes.
I mean, you know, just 66, whatever. I mean, lovely song. Here we go. The Jam with "The Man in the Corner Shop." WMFO Medford. Here we go. That's the snap version, and it's a winner. I love that song.
I do love that song. It's great.
What else do you want to hear?
I would love to hear something that is a cover of a cover of a cover. I believe the probably the most popular version is probably the Marvin Gaye version, but I want to hear the Gladys Knight and the Pips version.
Yeah, Dave Marsh feels that this is one of the greatest singles that ever was. I'm pretty sure in his book, 500 singles or what, or 1,000 singles, whatever it is, I'm pretty sure this was number one. Well, by Marvin Gaye.
Right. But, the Miracles also recorded it, but the Miracles didn't release it. Well, this was actually the first one released and the second one recorded. And then Marvin Gaye's was the third one recorded, but the second one released.
But also, Marvin Gaye has that, like, that's what love is or something. It's an exact copy, like, arrangement, groove, everything. So I don't know which came first. Wasn't it that thing, like, it was Gladys' song, but then they wanted to put that groove that they already had done, Marvin Gaye had done, but I don't know the chronology of it. But that other song,
that was earlier. I believe this was kind of, speaking of responses, this was kind of in response to the Swampers and Memphis, you know, the people down there doing Respect with Aretha Franklin.
Oh.
And the producers of this track heard Respect and said, let's take this version and try to get it funkier.
Mm.
Make it funky. And this is the result of taking her through the grapevine and making it funkier.
All right. It's track one, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Dynamite. Is Gladys Knight and the Pips with I Heard It Through the Grapevine. WMFO Medford. Gladys Knight and the Pips with I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Classic song. Classic
great James
music.
Jamerson on bass.
Yes. Motown Records, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And did he play on a ton of Motown?
He played on all the early Motown. He played on his high school string bass on My Girl. He played on his beautiful precision bass. Unfortunately, got stolen. On all the other hits after that. And... Then Motown moved to L.A., and he stayed in Detroit.
Oh, wow.
And he was kind of, you know, he had a rough personality, apparently. He didn't get along with people. There's a story of Berry Gordy wanted him to play a simple part, and he kept throwing in these jazz things. And he said, if you do that again, I'm going to fire you. And I forget what song it is, but he throws in one little lick, and he kept it in anyway. Because, like, okay, I'll let you keep that one. Yeah.
I mean, just Berry Gordy, he fought with a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of which, this next track, Berry Gordy tried to hold back because he didn't think this was going to be something that the artist should do. And the artist put down his foot. And another cool thing that I like about this upcoming track was that the artist insisted that for the first time on this record, all the musicians would be credited.
Oh,
because before
that.
This, you couldn't see, you would always, who's the bass player from Motown? I don't know. It's not on the record. It doesn't say. This was the first Motown record which listed everybody.
That's really cool.
Which was cool.
And this one has Mercy, Mercy Me, right?
Yep.
What's going on?
Yep.
Incredible stuff. Are we ready for it, folks? Yes?
The classic.
We are.
Yes,
let's hear
we
it.
Are.
Marvin Gaye.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop it. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality.
Sister,
talk to me,
sister,
so you can see.
Sister,
oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, right on. Judge us simply 'cause our hair is long. Oh, you know we've got to find, bring some understanding here today. Oh, 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 picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right,
right on. Right on.
Marvin Gaye with What's Going On, and what's going on with you, everyone out there? This is the Porter Squares. All three of them are here in the studio with me, and we're going to talk about their latest release. It's called Three Sides, and this next track is called Good Fortune, but we're going to talk about it first.
Sure, yeah. This is a song I wrote... a while ago, but a friend of mine, Mark Dysart, Dizzy, a shout out to Dizzy D down in Washington, D.C. area, was moving to Washington, D.C. from up here, and was going to a going away party, and I was like, what can I do? I don't really have a going away gift. So I'm like, oh, I'll write him a quick song. And so had kind of writer's block due to some, well, you'll hear in the song. It's kind of the song tells the story a little bit. I have lots of little collections of things at my house, and one of the things I have in a little box is fortunes from fortune cookies. So I needed some inspiration, and so I opened up the box and I started looking at all these fortunes. Like, oh, that's a good little line. That's a good line. That's a good line. And so pretty much all the verses in this song are all actual. Every single verse is an actual fortune from a fortune cookie, and then there's two parts that I wrote. But
The track is called Good Fortune.
Good Fortune.
Okay.
Yes.
And what do you think about Good Fortune? Anything that reminds you of, or were you inspired by any other track? I know that you focused on the lyrics right there, but how about the music?
It's kind of
indicative of how we are, in that we play all over different kinds of genres, and
what would you call this? Like,
I don't know. See, that's just it. It's it's a little bit of this,
like
it's
a
little bit of that. Yeah.
To it, you know, and a little bit of the,
and we also utilize the tricks of the studio, things we can't do on stage. Such as a cool little xylophone, or what was it?
Marimba. Yeah.
Fun stuff.
For percussion?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's tough for a power trio, you know?
Yeah, this one we definitely had some fun with production-wise. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, let's listen to it, and then you tell me afterwards.
Check it out. What do you think of Good Fortune, everybody? WMFO Medford.
Happiness.
cha cha cha. There we go. It's Good Fortune by the Porter Squares.
Yeah, the track does actually end with what you would think, but when we were doing an edit, like a rough mix, and I just stopped it at a random point, and it kind of just cut off like that. And we're like, actually, we kind of like that. So
yeah, they caught that one.
When we do our deluxe box set,
there,
we'll have the actual original.
No, it's a great song. There was a song called "Good Fortune," all written by or written from Fortune Cookie.
Fortune Cookie Fortunes.
Fortune Cookie Fortunes. Yeah. Yeah.
Inspiration.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk about Leon Bridges.
I love just discovering new music, and I'm always interested in how people discover new music nowadays. It seems like there's a lot of like streaming and algorithms and things like that, but I kind of still am like, I go to the record store, I look at records and
listen to local radio.
Listen to local radio, where mm-hmm. I get recommendations from friends. And so this song, I discovered Leon Bridges. I think actually I'd seen his first record like in a record store, and I just would see it when I was flipping through stuff. And then I heard a song. I think it was Smooth Sailing in a store, probably like Starbucks or something. And I Shazammed it. That's the kind of I will use Shazam if I hear something. I'm like, oh, that's cool. What is that? So that's a very handy app. Little plug for Shazam. And it came up, Bridges, and I'm like, oh, okay, that name sounds familiar. And then when I was in the record store the next time, I'm like, that's, okay, I made that connection, and I bought that album. Loved it. Very awesome. Yeah. Really retro sound on that one, like very kind of Sam Cooke, old soul.
Absolutely. I felt the same way.
And by this point, he'd already released his second album, Good Thing, and so I bought that, and very different, quite a different sound. And so I was very... I felt like it was pretty cool, like kind of seeing this artist kind of discovering themselves, and really, he probably could have very comfortably stayed in that thing he was doing, but I think he wants to grow as an artist. So it's really interesting watching artists do that. And so this one definitely he's kind of moving forward in the timeline. And this song, I really like this one. It's got kind of a George Benson feel, I feel, to it. Some sweet little guitar licks in it and things like that. So this one's, Bad, Bad News.
And it's off of Good Thing, right?
Off of Good Thing, yeah.
Off of Good Thing. Leon Bridges.
Thank you.
away in the background. Classic music.
Tasty guitar licks at the end there.
Lovely music. One of John's favorites. And John, we're going to talk about
Corinne? So the next artist I had lined up is Corinne Bailey Ray, who I saw in concert recently. And she's actually someone that I discovered thanks to my bandmate here, Jonathan. I was talking to him about, I might have been talking to him about Liam Mahavis there, and he mentioned Corinne Bailey Ray. Mm-hmm. And I went out, I always got my ears open for new music. I love discovering new stuff, and so I ordered her album. I think it's called The Sea, and I got that, and it's really good, strong songwriting. And then she released this album, Black Rainbows, and I picked that one up, and again, it was very much kind of like the Leon thing we were talking about, where it's very different sound. I'm like, okay, what happened between these albums? And kind of investigated a little bit. And so she had found this Stony Island Arts Bank in Chicago, which is developed by an artist named Theaster Gates. In Chicago, he bought an old bank building that was going to be demolished. He bought it for a dollar, sold marble from the bank as bonds to raise money, and now it's a archive depository, performance space. It's got a film archive and things like that, and he has all these kind of interesting collections of things. And so she went there, a lot of it related to African American history in the United States and experiences. And so she had gone there and was looking at all these glass slides, old newspapers, magazines, ephemera, and started just coming up with all these song ideas mm-hmm. from that. So I thought that was very interesting. And so this song is called New York Transit Queen, and it's she found a newspaper article with a picture of that year. So they used to have a Miss New York Transit, apparently.
Wow.
and so there was a picture of this woman on, I think she's on the side of a train or something, and she was the first African American transit, New York Transit, Miss New York Transit. And so she wrote the song about her, and later met her and kind of investigated her. She had this woman, Audrey Smaltz, I believe is her name, went on to have a huge career in fashion as a model and as a commentator, and worked with all these well-known fashion houses and things like that. Just a very interesting way of she's discovering new things and telling I'm going to tell these people's stories and things like that. So
okay, let's hear it. New York Transit.
New York Transit Queen.
Here we go.
Transit Queen, New York Transit Queen, New York Transit Queen, little over 17. New York Transit Queen, New York Transit Queen, New York Transit Queen, little over 17. New York Transit Queen, New York Transit Queen, beauty is in her possession and she rides.
Okay, nice. New York Transit. What do you know?
Yeah. Short and solid.
Yeah. It's less than 2 minutes and in your face. Great rock and roll.
I kind of liked it. That was pretty cool.
Wonder if she'd write a song about the Warriors.